Matthew chapter 27. Our text for this morning is the verse 45. Verse 45. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. The darkness of Calvary. But Christ came into the world as God manifest in flesh. There were a number of supernatural events that took place and accompanied his arrival. Being such a momentous event, it is not surprising that signs and wonders drew attention to the fact that God incarnate had come into the world. God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he lay there in a humble manger. Matthew tells us about a star, not just a star, but it is recorded his star that appeared in the east and guided the wise men to the place where Christ was born, even though their arrival was about 2 years after the actual birth of Christ. And then, we are told, the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds that night in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And then the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So you have the star, his star, and then the appearance of the angel, and then the very host of angels coming, and we're told suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Star, angel, a heavenly host, filling the heavens with the glory, announcing the coming of Christ into the world. All those were supernatural events. All took place to accompany the birth of Christ. Now we come to his death. And again, it is not surprising that supernatural events take place to accompany the sufferings and the death of the dear Son of God there on Golgotha's brow. Indeed, a number of miracles and wonders did take place as the Savior hung there on the cross. And after that great event, the wonders continued, all again associated with the death of Christ. First of all, as we've read this morning, there was a darkness over all the land. Second, there was the rending and twain of the veil in the temple. Luke 23, verse 45. Thirdly, there was the earthquake and the rending of the rocks. Fourth, there was the opening of the graves Fifth, the condition of things which existed in the empty sepulchre after the Lord rose from the dead. Finally, there was the coming out of the grave after the Lord's resurrection of many bodies of the saints who slept there in their graves. This all took place surrounding the death, the resurrection of Christ. Today, we want to look at the darkness of Calvary. As we read in the verse 45, now there was, now from the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. One of the great wonders surrounding the death of Christ. First of all, let us consider the hour of the darkness. The hour. Of course, we usually associate darkness with the night time. But here, while Christ hung upon the cross, we're told, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. The sixth hour was 12 noon, middle of the day. The ninth hour is 3 in the afternoon. So there was darkness over all the land beginning at 12 noon and ending at 3 in the afternoon. I want to consider then, regarding the hour, the darkness, I want to consider the suddenness. This was something that no one would have expected to take place. Expected that day to be like any other day, sun shining brightly. But here we read that from 12 noon, suddenly a darkness fell upon the land. And here in Calvary, over all the land, at the brightest hours of the day, there was darkness. That's right, darkness. Usually the brightest hour of the day. Of course, we know down through the years there have always been those who sought to explain away the darkness. Those who do not believe in the miracles of the Bible. And there are those who tell us that darkness was really an eclipse of the sun. Well, there are a couple of major problems with that theory. First of all, the Passover season was usually celebrated at the time when there was a full moon. Full moon in the sky. No eclipse can take place or can happen while there's a full moon, because the sun and the moon are not in the right position to create an eclipse. That's the first thing. Secondly, anyone who has seen an eclipse, how long does it last? That's just a matter of minutes. But here the darkness that enshrouded Calvary lasted 3 hours. And so the skeptics and the deniers have no answer to what took place that day at Calvary. There's only one explanation. God did it. God created that time, the darkness that came down upon the scene of Calvary at 12 noon, in a darkness that lasted for 3 hours. God did it. God in his omnipotence caused the darkness. After all, who is he? He's the one who created the sun. He's the one who created the moon. He's the creator of all things. As we read in Genesis, I know they're familiar words. It doesn't do any harm to look at them again. Genesis 1, verse 16. And God made two great lights. God made, created two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That amazing? Just a few words used to tell us what God did. But he made the stars. He made the stars also. Four or five words. He made the stars also. And we're told, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. To divide the light from the darkness. And yet at Calvary, and over all the land, the darkness came down, and there was no light. 12 noon till 3 in the afternoon. Only God, our Creator, only God could reverse the laws of nature. And he did so to accompany the sufferings and the death of his dear son. 3 hours of darkness. And God did it. As well as the suddenness, the darkness speaks to us of the sovereign. Already said, that darkness that came down upon the land and covered Calvary that day, God did it as the sovereign God of heaven. Covered all the land. Indeed, Luke tells us something more. Matthew says the darkness covered all the land. Luke tells us, and there was darkness over all the earth. And I believe that. I believe the darkness covered the whole earth. Because when you think of it, half the world was in darkness anyway. And God covered the whole earth. The whole earth needed to know that something supernatural was taking place there in the heavens and also upon earth. Now there were other times. There were other times that are recorded in Scripture, when God revealed his omnipotence in what he did with the sun. Here we read that he blotted out the sun when there was darkness over all the earth. But we read in Scripture other things the Lord did with the sun. Turn to Joshua. Chapter 10. Joshua 10. Here we read by Joshua the Israelites, when they were fighting in Gibeon, God caused the sun to stand still in the heavens. Joshua 10, verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stared, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So God caused the sun to stand still, prevented it from going down, lengthened the day, so that Joshua and the Israelites could defeat the enemy. Caused the sun to stand still, and here at Calvary, caused the sun to be blotted out. God did it. Again, later in Israel's history, Hezekiah was king of Judah. Hezekiah fell ill. Lord told him to set his house in order, for he would die and not live. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept and prayed. The Lord heard his prayer and answered his prayer, and added to his life another 15 years. And God told Hezekiah, listen, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sun. Sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. For Joshua, God caused the sun to stand still. For Hezekiah, we've just read that God will bring the sun backward 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Isaiah 38 and verse 8. So there you have three examples of what God is able to do regarding the sun. Bring the sun back, cause the sun to stand still, and cause the sun to be blotted out. And God did it all. That's who he is. Because he is the sovereign God, our creator, of heaven and earth. And what do we read? There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Not even the bringing back of the sun and the sky. Not even causing the sun to stand still. Not even causing the sun to be blotted out. That's who our God is. And so from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. As well as the suddenness and the sovereign, we have the solemnity. Was that not a very solemn time when this supernatural event took place? When people expected the sun to shine all through the day, and yet at 12 noon, sudden blackness, sudden darkness. No, it wasn't an eclipse, but it lasted 3 hours. What a solemn time that must have been. Matthew Henry, describing the darkness of Calvary and the other miracles that took place, the other wonders that took place at that time. Matthew Henry described the darkness and the other events as the frowns of heaven. That's a good description. The frowns of heaven. And how solemn are some of the events in Scripture in which darkness covered the scene. For example, when Abraham made an offering to the Lord, we read, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him." And horror, that's how the Holy Spirit describes it. And horror. And horror. And horror of great darkness fell upon him. Genesis 15 and 12. Now there was Abraham, and he just offered up sacrifice to God. And suddenly there was a horror of a great darkness. Now at Calvary, another sacrifice is being offered. The Son of God is being offered to God as the sacrifice for sin. And there at Calvary, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And the horror of a great darkness fell on Christ. They give you another example of the solemnity of darkness, associated with darkness. Exodus 10 and 21 we read, God told Moses, "Stretch out thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt." Listen, even a darkness which can be felt. A darkness which can be felt. How dark that must have been. A dreadful, frightening darkness that could be felt. And surely the darkness that covered Calvary that day was a darkness that could be felt. A darkness which could be felt. A darkness of terror. A terror of a great darkness. A darkness that could be felt. What a solemn, frightening darkness that was, that lasted for 3 hours. 3 long hours. The light of the sun was extinguished that noonday. And considering also, coinciding with that, the life of Christ was extinguished, who is the light of the world. The light of the world was extinguished that day. Not for 3 hours, but for 3 days. 3 days that we can praise God that at the end of 3 days, that light shone again. that light shone again, for the Son of Righteousness rose again with healing in his wing. The Son of Righteousness, Christ the Son of Righteousness, rose again with healing in his wing. The sun shone again. Praise the Lord. Christ is still shining. We've considered the hour of the darkness. I want now to look at the hiding by the darkness. Of course, with such an intense darkness, a darkness that could be felt that day, all was hidden from view. All was hidden from view for those 3 hours. First of all, the sufferer was hidden, namely Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke about the Son of God being put to an open shame. Hebrews 6 and verse 6. And there at Calvary, Christ was put to an open shame. God's dear Son was put to an open shame as he hung there on the cross in full view of all who gathered there. Because those Roman soldiers had stripped him of his clothing. And don't we read in Matthew 27 verse 33, and they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. They stripped the dear Son of God, and there in his nakedness he hung upon the cross, while the Roman soldiers gambled for his garments. There, suspended between heaven and earth, Christ was put to an open shame until God, his Father, his Heavenly Father, clothed him for those 3 hours, clothed him with the darkness, causing him to be hidden from the eyes of the beholders that were gathered there at that scene. But as we, as it were, peer through the darkness, let us not lose sight of something. Let us not lose sight of something important. Christ was put to an open shame for me. And for you, believer. You can look at the Lord Jesus as he hung there before those 3 hours of darkness and see the dear Savior hanging there, being put to an open shame. And you look at that scene and you say, it was all for me. He did it for me. And he knew what was before him, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. They parted my garments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. He knew it was before him, and he still went. Down came the darkness. And hid the shame from you. So the darkness hid the sufferer. During those 3 hours of darkness, we noticed the silence. The silence. Look there at our text. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And verse 45. Not only Matthew, but Mark and Luke, each of them that record that event of the darkness for 3 hours, not one word is recorded that was spoken during those 3 hours of darkness. There's the silence. Not one word is recorded. There's the silence. Not a word. Instead, silence, sudden, and somber. Doesn't the word darkness itself even speak to us of silence? The great sufferer, the Lord Jesus Christ, for those 3 hours is silent. No word is recorded coming from the lips of Christ during those 3 hours. The sufferer is silent, as if underneath that darkness some huge horror hung over his soul. And all else is silent. No taunting now. The lips of the mockers are silent. No blaspheming Christ now. All is silent. When Hannah prayed, giving thanks to the Lord for the birth of her son Samuel, it's interesting what she prayed. First Samuel 2 verse 9, she said, "He will keep the feet of the saints." God will keep the feet of the saints. "And the wicked shall be silent in darkness." My, if ever there was a prophetic word coming from the lips of Hannah, a prayer of thanksgiving, and yet here she says the feet of the saints. The Lord will keep the feet of the saints, they'll not slip. And then she says, "And the wicked shall be silent in the darkness." That's exactly what took place. The blasphemers, the mockers of God's Son, all enemies of God, were silent that day. And that ought to sound a warning to all who know not God. To all, when they're up for Christ, they say, "Away with him! Away with him!" This ought to be a warning. For God has his own ways of silencing his enemies. He has his own ways of silencing the blasphemers. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall they also reap. The mockers, the blasphemers, they reaped a bitter harvest that day. God shut their mouths, silenced them. So we have the sufferer who's hidden. We have the silence of those gathered there. Then we have the solitude. Nothing was said during those 3 hours, and nothing was seen during those 3 hours. And during that time, those agonizing hours, the dear Savior suffered such loneliness and solitude. He saw not the face of his dear mother, neither the face of his beloved disciple, nor did he see the faces of those women who had followed him from Galilee, ministering unto him. They couldn't minister unto him now. There was no comfort for him, either from family or friends. He was alone in the darkness. Alone. He testified, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Isaiah 63:3. And how dark was that darkness for our dear Savior, seeing no familiar, friendly faces to comfort him in the greatest hours of his solitude. But there was another face that he couldn't see. No, he couldn't see the faces of family, or friends, or followers. Neither could he see the face of his father. That tells us something about the loneliness of Christ. Could not see the face of his father, his heavenly father, the father in whom he said over and over again, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. For those 3 hours, no, he didn't see the faces of familiar friends or family. And for the 3 hours, he didn't see the face of his father, because at the end of the 3 hours, he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken. The one whose face he had always beheld, he was the darling of his father's bosom. But in those 3 hours, he saw no one, not even his heavenly father. Forsaken of God, and afflicted. There was no comfort for him beholding the face of his father. What solitude. What loneliness. There he was alone. As the psalmist said, as lonely as a sparrow on the housetop. No one will ever know. No one will ever be able to fathom the depths of the loneliness, the sense of abandonment that the Savior felt during those 3 hours of darkness. Because that's what the word forsaken means. Abandoned. Christ was abandoned there during the hours of that intense darkness. None of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed or how dark the night the Lord passed through where he found his sheep that was lost. The hour of the darkness, the hiding by the darkness. Finally, we have the horror of the darkness. As we've already noted, those words of Moses, Genesis 15 and 12, and horror of great darkness, and horror of great darkness. That was experienced by all who were gathered there that day at Calvary. And in horror of great darkness, that was not only experienced by Christ's enemies, the mockers, the blasphemers, those who threw their insults at him. But I must say this, that darkness that blotted out the sun for 3 hours is the darkness that awaits every unrepentant sinner. I have to tell you that. I have to be truthful. Woe betide if I was not truthful. But the darkness we've spoken about is the same darkness that awaits every sinner that dies without Christ. Every sinner that dies without Christ will experience the horror of darkness. But experience that darkness that can be felt. This darkness, first of all, was a sign. It is a sign of what awaits the sinner in eternity. Nothing, nothing but darkness. There on Calvary, the Lord went through 3 hours of darkness to save sinners from the darkness that awaits them in eternity. That's what Christ did. As he went there as a sinner substitute, as he went there to shed his blood for sinners, he went through the hours of darkness to save men and women from the darkness that awaits them in eternity. No. Man does not die like a dog, and that's the end. Listen, and is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. That's God's word. It came from the lips of Paul. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And it will be darkness. There in the horror of the great darkness, there will not be a glimmer of light. Not a glimmer of light will be seen, and not a glimmer of hope will be found. That's the gospel truth. And Jude tells us in his epistle, to the sinner, is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. God in his word uses strong language. And really that's the way it needs to be. To cause men and women to realize what awaits them in eternity. And yet Christ on the cross went through those hours of darkness to save men and women from going out into eternity and out into outer darkness. Jude says it is reserved. It is reserved and waiting for those who will not receive Christ as Savior. It is reserved. It's waiting. As well as the darkness of Calvary being a sign, the darkness of Calvary also speaks to us of a sentence. It reminds us of the sentence passed by the Savior upon the unprofitable servant. The unprofitable servant represents the sinner. In a parable that the Lord taught, the unprofitable servant, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord said, and cast ye the unprofitable servant, listen, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. Don't you get the sense of abandonment there in those words? Outer darkness. Abandoned. No light. No hope. Just utter darkness. That's what awaits the sinner. I tell you, it's not a fairy story. It's not something made up by man to scare people. It's God's word. And in God's word, we're told the sinner will be cast out into outer darkness for all eternity. And yet there on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus went through the darkness by shedding his precious blood to save sinners from the blackness of darkness forever. To save sinners from the horror of darkness, to save sinners from the darkness that can be felt, to save sinners from the blackness of darkness forever, to save sinners from being cast away into outer darkness. All the phrases used that I've used this morning to describe this darkness. The sinner may say, is there any hope for me? Praise the Lord, there is. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. He went through the darkness for you, that you may not experience the darkness we have just described. The darkness of Calvary. That's why our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, you know, Lord, this darkness has been a solemn subject. And Lord, we know it is the truth. Not something made up by man, but given to us by God, the Holy Spirit Himself. We thank thee for what our dear Savior went through as he hung there in that center tree. And oh, the solitude. Oh, the loneliness. Oh, the abandonment. We did it all for sinners such as we. Lord, write thy word upon hearts today. May sinners consider their latter end and apply their hearts unto wisdom. Dear Lord, be with us now throughout this day. Continue, Lord, to keep us all healthy and well and safe in all our troubles. Be pleased, Lord, to return us to thy house this evening. We spend time again around the world. I am in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Abide in the name with us now and forevermore. Amen.